Good morning, this is Brother James Melton with Bible Baptist Church in Sharon, welcoming you to the Bible Baptist broadcast. Bible Baptist Church is located at 130 East Main in Sharon. We have Sunday school at 9:30, preaching 11 o'clock. Always following the preaching, we do have a meal right here at the church. You're welcome to be with us for that and fellowship and hang out. And then following that, at 2:30, we have our afternoon service, and that goes till about 3:30. We do not have a Sunday night service because we have the afternoon service instead, and also Wednesday night service at 7 p.m. All right, get your Bible, and let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, and we started last week dealing with what turned into, I guess, a brief series on the subject of turning from sin, and did not get near as far as I wanted last week, so we're just going to continue this for whatever amount of time we have to try to make it clear. We covered last week, we started with a passage from Isaiah 55 in verse 6 through 9, where the Bible talks about the wicked forsaking his way and returning unto the Lord, and it's all all the same process. You don't turn to the Lord and hang on to your sins. You turn to the Lord when you turn from your wicked way. And we talked about that, and we went to John chapter 4 and pointed out that when Jesus dealt with the woman at the well, he was going to give her eternal life, and she wanted eternal life, but he said, first, go call thy husband. She had a secret sin in her life that had to be dealt with. So Jesus did not sidestep or avoid the sin issue. He dealt with the sin issue. And then we also covered a passage in Acts chapter 14 where Paul said to turn from these vanities unto the living God. Turn from the vanities unto the living God. And we talked about that some last week. So now, Acts chapter 26, if you will. Acts 26, verse 19 and 20. Paul is speaking to Agrippa. And Agrippa is getting under conviction himself. In fact, he ends up saying later, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. And Paul, you know, comments on that as well. But here Paul says, whereupon, verse 19 and 20, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should, get this, repent, that's the word we've been looking at a little bit, and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. He didn't just say repent secretly in your heart and have a, quote, change of mind, the way some of the brethren talk about, and then that be enough. He said, repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. As I pointed out last week, it is commonly stated among a lot of the brethren that repentance is only a change of mind. No, that's false. Repentance is a change of mind, but it's not only a change of mind. A change of mind is naturally going to produce some change in actions. If I say, you know, I've changed my mind, I am not going to continue this broadcast, and then I continue in the broadcast, well, then obviously I didn't change my mind. I may say that I changed my mind. And you say, well, obviously, Melton, you didn't change your mind because you're still talking. See? You did not discontinue the broadcast. You didn't quit. You kept going. You're still talking. Even to this minute, you're still talking. So don't tell me you changed your mind when the evidence indicates otherwise. Okay? And what God is saying here, if there's real repentance of the heart, then there is naturally going to be an action outwardly. That's why Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them, Matthew 7:20. That's why Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have a new life. You're going down the highway. You decide you're going the wrong way. You say, well, I've changed my mind. This is not the right way. I'm going the other way. Well, then immediately you give a signal, you turn off, and you start going the other way. And if you keep going in the same way, then no one's going to believe that you really changed your mind. So the Bible says right here, Acts 26:19-20, repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Not because the works will save you, but because faith without works is dead, James says. And the works that were not there before, that are there now, is evidence that something definitely happened on that inside. That individual is a new creature in Christ, and we can clearly see it. And that's what God is saying. I mean, why wouldn't a person be different after God deals with them? I grant you, you may come in touch with a man and cut a deal with a man here and there about this or that, and it'll not change you much. But when God Almighty takes all your sins away and forgives you and gives you eternal life and puts His Spirit in you, sealed in you under the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30, how in the world can that not change you? It is absurd to suggest that there should be no outward change. There should be an outward change, and it should begin happening immediately, and it should continue and grow and grow and grow more and more and more all throughout that new Christian's life. So is repentance a change of mind? Of course. But it's a change of mind that is real, that begins a changed life that is visible with outward fruit and evidence. Okay, I don't know why that has to be so complicated. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and let's get verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how, these are new Christians, new believers, that Paul had seen saved, and that we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols. No comma at all. It's not a separate sentence. He didn't say you turned to God this year, and then a few years later you decided to turn from the idols. No. To God from idols. Again, you're going down the highway. You realize you're heading north, and you ought to be heading south. And you come to realize that, whoa, I'm going the wrong way. Well, you don't keep going the wrong way. You don't keep moving in the wrong direction. The fact that your mind said, I'm going the wrong way, automatically, immediately, your foot leaves the accelerator, you turn on the blinker, and you get over and either make a U-turn or you at least look for the nearest exit to get up and get off that way and come back around. You don't want to continue even another mile in the wrong direction. Why? Because you had a real change of mind that this direction is wrong. I need to be going that way, not the way that I'm going. That is true repentance. That is true conversion. Now, I grant you, once you get turned around and you begin going the other way, you might also come to realize that there's also another turnoff that you have to take to get specifically to the place you want to go to. That's new data. That's new information. You might run into highway construction that you did not anticipate. So that's new information. You might run into, you know, a snowstorm, you know, bad weather. You might hit a detour, you know, whatever. Things might happen that bring new information to your awareness where you have to adjust and make changes all along the way. Well, that represents your new life in Christ. Obviously, you don't know everything the moment you get saved. So as you read your Bible, you pray, you begin to grow in grace, you begin to learn more and more what kind of additional changes can be made, obviously. But the idea of making a change that first starts in the heart, I'm a sinner, I'm not pleasing to God, my sins are going to condemn me to hell, I don't want to go to hell, I want forgiveness. And you really, truly go to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, then you've got a new heart. And you've got a totally different attitude about who you are, who you were, who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and who you are now and what He expects of you. This idea of continuing on the same way you were going, while at the same time now enjoying your new salvation in Christ and enjoying your sins at the same time, that is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. That is false. That is heresy. And you grow in grace and you learn more and more about sin and what's right and what's wrong and what holy living means, of course. But it starts the moment you receive Jesus Christ. In fact, it starts before you receive Him, because you're not going to receive Him if you're not already aware that you're a condemned sinner. You're not even saved yet, and yet you know, I'm going to hell if I don't get saved. That's already a changed heart. You didn't think that way a year ago. You didn't think that way when you were out living like the devil recklessly and party animal and doing all this and that. But God began to speak to your heart. You begin to see yourself as a sinner that you are. Little by little, God's conviction began to set in, and that old heart began to change. And you reach a point where you said, I can't take it anymore. I have decided the time has come. I am going to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when you do that, you become a new creature. And if you're a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, old things are passed away, all things are become new. Not 5 years after you become a new creature. The moment you become a new creature, that growth, that process begins. Just like when you do a U-turn on the highway, you're not at your destination yet, and there's still other turns and decisions to make as you head in the right direction. But you're no longer going in the wrong direction. I don't know why that has to be so confusing to so many people, unless they just still love sin and they're not really saved. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I know the Word of God is very, very clear. All right, come to John 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 16. John 16 and verse 8 and 9. And when He has come, referring to the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then He says, of sin, because they believe not on Me. Now, some of the brethren say the only sin that, you know, will send you to hell is the sin of unbelief. That's true. But when you believe, what do you believe? You believe on Jesus Christ, the one who does what? Takes your sins away. John 1:29, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Well, then you're not going to continue in the sin if you sought forgiveness for the sin. Okay? You're in a new life in Christ when you're saved. I hope you understand that. We will continue next week. May the Lord bless you, and good day.